What a fantastic song. Love that song. Our scripture reading from this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30, 1 through 8. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your written word that we can just read of these great men in the past, read about Israel. We thank you so much. And just be with Pastor Craig now as he delivers the message you wish us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Continuing in our series through lessons in the life of David. If you remember, David had been in the midst of another low in his life. He'd been pursuing what seemed like the easy way out of his problems. We looked at that last week, and this led to him compromising God's standards. It led to a very complicated situation. And now, as Jeff just read, some very severe consequences. While he and all the men were gone, the Amalekites had come in and burned their city to the ground and taken captive their families and all of their possessions. And his men, as Jeff read, were tempted to blame him and kill him. David was at another low in his life. And as is often the purpose for those lows in our life, when God allows us to come to those places, David had no other place to turn but to God. And he did. He did. David has had his ups and downs. This will not only be a continued theme, really, for him in his life, but it has been and will be a continued theme for Israel, and sadly, but realistically, a continued theme in our life as well. We will have spiritual ups, and we will have spiritual downs. But as we go through these things, the hope, God's desire really for us is that the ups will get greater and longer in duration, and the lows won't be quite as low and long, all right? This will not only be, anyway, that's the hope, okay? They become shorter. God is looking for signs of spiritual maturity in our lives. God is seeking to use us in greater and greater ways. God is seeking to mold us into leaders. That's what's been taking place in David's life. The Lord has been testing David's readiness to rule. The question is he now showing those signs of readiness? Is he ready for the throne? As I often look for illustrations that offer relatable examples concerning what we're learning from the Lord in a particular passage, I will often just do an internet search, and I'll type in some key words surrounding our theme, okay? And as I searched the phrase, signs of readiness, because that's kind of our theme this morning, signs of readiness, as I plug that into Google, the first 14 websites that came up concerning signs of readiness all had to do with potty training. 14 websites, the first of them. So I thought, I'll go with it. Pun intended. So to illustrate signs of readiness, here are just a few signs that a child might be ready for the potty. First of all, they dislike the feeling of wearing dirty diapers. They don't like the yuck anymore. That might be a sign they're ready to be potty trained. Another sign is they can understand verbal commands. They have successfully obeyed in other areas and could likely obey in this one. Another sign is they will begin to take an interest in what you're doing in there. They may even want to watch you go to see how it's done. So they can be like mom and dad or big brother and big sister. Or another sign that they might be ready is they may even ask you, all right, I want to do this now. They may even ask you for your help. Asking is a sign that they might be ready. These are just some of the signs that a child might be ready for the potty. Now, believe it or not, while there are many obvious differences, there are actually some similarities between the readiness for the potty and readiness to be a spiritual leader, to lead others. And I just want you to know I am not going to carry this theme through all morning. I am not going to refer back to the potty with every one of my points. But I will give you this, and this is kind of where I'm going to end it. One thing that is very similar in both potty training and being spiritual leaders is both are expected of all. All right. It is expected that every human being in the civilized world become potty trained. And it is expected that every child of God become a spiritual leader, at least to some degree. And so that we can know what God is looking for in a spiritual leader, I want to point out four basic signs of one who is ready to lead by observing them in David. Our subject this morning is readiness to rule. Now, to be sure, we've seen a few of these signs in David before, but here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there are four signs that David is going to display that indicate his readiness. And the first of them is this: asking of the Lord. Asking of the Lord. Asking for his help, his guidance. That is a sign that one might be ready to lead others, because it's a sign that they understand who is really in charge of everything. Well, in verses 7 and 8, it's stated like this. Let's read those last two verses that Jeff read. It says, "Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all.'" The fact that David inquired of the Lord is demonstrating his readiness to lead others. And allow me just to break this down into a few different segments here. Inquiring of the Lord, first of all, demonstrates that we know who's really in charge. I mentioned that already. It demonstrates that we know who is really in charge. We're acknowledging that God is God and not we ourselves, just as Psalm 100 says. Secondly, inquiring of the Lord demonstrates that we know who knows best. It demonstrates that we know who knows best. We are acknowledging that God's ways are higher than our ways, as Isaiah 55:9 says. And we're requesting those ways. And then thirdly, inquiring of the Lord demonstrates that we actually want what is best for those we lead. It demonstrates that we actually want what is best for those we lead. We're not just interested in ourselves, what we want. We're asking for God's direction so that those we are leading can truly and honestly have what will be the absolute best for them. And that is a sign of one who might be ready to lead others. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us the same kind of thing in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And then he goes on to talk about, "Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ." And he talks about how Christ did that. But asking of the Lord, seeking his guidance, seeking the absolute best, is a sign of one who might be ready to lead others. It's a sign that David displayed. The second sign of readiness that David displayed was abiding with the Lord. Abiding with the Lord. It means to continue with him, to follow where he is leading us, to be where he is, to do what he wants us to do. Abiding with the Lord. Look at the first three words of verse 9. And I think it may read just a little bit differently than what I'm going to say. It may read a little differently in the NIV. But as God told David where to go, it says, "So David went." David asked for guidance, received that guidance, and he took immediate action in the direction that God led him to go. As God told David, pursue the Amalekites, the beginning of verse 10, if you want to glance there, says, David pursued. David pursued. That is abiding with the Lord. In John 8:31, Jesus says, really to us, he says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." That word indeed talks about doing, equating it with abiding in his word. It's doing what he says. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." As a child, Norman Geisler went to a daily vacation Bible school because he was invited by a neighborhood friend of his. After that, he kept going back to that same church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. 400 Sundays. Each week he was faithfully picked up by a church bus driver who many times he was the only person. Norman was the only kid he was picking up. Week after week, 400 Sundays, all that time, went to the daily vacation Bible school, Sunday school, 400 times, still had not trusted Christ. And then as a senior in high school, 400 Sundays later, he trusted Christ. Today, Norman Geisler, I don't know if you recognize the name, but he is a well-respected and well-known theologian today. What if that bus driver had not abided in the Lord? What if he quit that ministry? What if he gave up on Norman himself, saying, you know, 399 times he has not trusted Christ yet. I'm not going this Sunday. What if the bus driver decided this kid is never going to trust Christ? Why waste my time anymore? He abided with the Lord. Abiding with the Lord, it's continuing with Him. It's doing what He leads us to do. And when we do that, when we are obedient, when we are abiding with the Lord, it will bring blessings. It will bring blessings. Abiding will bear fruit. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. What kind of fruit did David, his abiding, produce? Let's look at verses 9 and 10. It says, so David went, and he and 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind who were so weary they could not cross the brook Besor. It was a hard pursuit. For David, abiding with the Lord, first of all, produced followers. It produced followers. All 600 of David's men followed him because he was following the Lord. And when our brothers and sisters in Christ see that we are following the Lord, even as the lost see that we are following the Lord, they will be more apt to follow us. So the first fruit of David's abiding with the Lord was followers. It produced followers. Secondly, David's abiding produced strength. It appears that David and his men pursued the Amalekites hard. So hard that 200 of them, our passage says, could not continue. They were too exhausted. That is how hard they pursued after this raiding group. Yet, 400 of them, two-thirds of them, we read here, were given the strength for the journey. God gave strength because David was abiding in the Lord. Help. Help is another fruit of abiding. Psalm 54:4, David said, behold, God is my helper. How did God help here? Well, let's look at verses 11 through 15. It says, then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. Verse 14 continues. He says, we made an invasion of the southern area of the Kirathites in the territory which belongs to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? And he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. God helped. And he helped, first of all, through intelligence about the enemy. In the midst of this hard pursuit, it seems odd that they would stop to take this kind of time to help a person who had been left for dead in a field. But because God was guiding their steps, because David was abiding in the Lord, because God was guiding their steps, the Lord led them coincidentally, right? No coincidences, but coincidentally, they found this man who just happened to be an Egyptian slave of the Amalekites. He just happened to be abandoned in David's path. He just happened to be from the very group that raided and burned Ziklag, the very group that David was pursuing, and he just happened to know exactly where that group was going to be making camp that night. God helped through intelligence about the enemy. God also helped through interrelation against the enemy. Not only did this young Egyptian man have information, but he was willing to align with David and show him exactly where they were. So God helped through interrelation against the enemy, and then God helped through ignorance among the enemy. Look at verse 16. It says, "And when he brought him down, there they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah." There was the enemy right there, spread out all over this valley, eating and drinking and celebrating without a care in the world. Completely ignorant of the target they have made themselves. Not at all ready for battle. Spread out all over the land with groups here and there, situated perfectly to be picked off systematically, one by one, and efficiently by David and his men. God basically served David, his enemy, on a silver platter. Psalm 121:2 says, "My help comes from the Lord." Our help comes from the Lord. John 14:16, Jesus said to you and I, to his disciples, he said, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Abiding with the Lord produces follower strength, help, and then victory. Verses 17 through 20. "Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, 'This is David's spoil.'" Out of the probable thousands that were there, we're told about 400 of them escaped. And here we find that this Amalekite raiding party had not only raided Ziklag, where David and his families had been living, but they raided other cities in Judah, and they had actually raided the Philistines as well. But this victory was so complete that David not only retrieved every wife, every son, every daughter, but everything that had been taken from them and all of the plunder that these Amalekites had taken from all of those other cities of the Philistines and Judah. God told David all would be recovered, and all was, and even more so. Abiding with the Lord produces victory in our lives. It doesn't mean that we will go through life trial free and everything will be perfect. After all, 400 men escaped. 200 of David's men never even made it to battle. And there was a battle. But as we abide with the Lord, he will give us help. He will give us strength. He will give us victories. And people will follow us. Abiding with the Lord is a sign that one might be ready to lead. It's a sign that David displayed. John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." David asked of the Lord. David abided with the Lord. It was done for him. The third sign of readiness to rule that David displayed was admonishing in the Lord. That is, correcting ungodly actions in a godly manner. Maybe you've heard this before, this story, but many years ago, a minister was concerned about the absence of a man who had normally been in attendance at church services. And after a few weeks of this gentleman missing, the pastor decided to go visit him. And when he arrived at his home, he found him there all alone, just kind of sitting in front of the fireplace. So the minister pulled up a chair, sat next to him, but after his initial greeting, said nothing more. And the two of them just sat there in front of the fireplace in silence, waiting, just staring at the flames. The pastor then took the tongs to the fireplace, carefully picked up a burning ember from the flames, and he put it on the hearth. And he sat back in his chair, still silent. His host watched in quiet reflection as the ember that he'd pulled out flickered and faded, and before long it was cold, black, and dead. The minister glanced at his watch and said he had to leave, but first he picked up the cold ember and placed it back in the fire. Immediately it began to glow again with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the minister arose to leave, his host stood with him, shook his hand, and then with a smile on his face, the man said, "Thanks for the sermon, Pastor. I'll see you in church on Sunday." Admonishing in the Lord is correcting ungodly actions in a godly manner. It is a sign that one might be ready to lead. How do we see that in our passage? Well, let's look at verses 21 through 24. It says, "Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near, the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who were with David answered and said, 'Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart.' But David said, 'My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike.'" Now, if you will remember, the 600 men that are with David are men that either disassociated themselves with King Saul or had been deliberately disassociated from the kingdom. In other words, they were kind of the riffraff, okay, of the kingdom. David's men, a lot of them at least, were probably a rough bunch. This group would have naturally contained some troublemakers. And apparently some of them still acted that way. And as David brought back all the families and all of these spoils, they met up with them again, with the 200 that didn't have strength for the journey. And some of these troublemakers said, "Sorry, if you didn't go to the fight, you don't get any spoils. In fact, let's just give them their families and send them on their merry way." So what did David do? Well, he rebuked ungodly actions. He corrected them. Yeah, they did not go down to the battle, but they did serve a purpose. They're part of the team. They watched and protected our supplies while we were gone. Logically, had David and the 400 failed in their pursuit, in their mission, the only thing they would have come back to is what these 200 had been guarding. But it's interesting, that's not the point that David makes. David says, "My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us." All of this spoil, it's not because of us. It's because of the Lord. So as the Lord has given to us, it will be for all of us. David rebuked these ungodly actions, and David ruled by godly statutes. Look at verse 25. "So it was, from that day forward, he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day." David's first edict, and he wasn't even king yet. "From now on, every man will share in the spoils of battle, no matter what part they play on the team." When a team wins the Super Bowl, even a bench gets the ring. Looks like David started a godly trend. It looks like David might be ready to rule. However, the truth of the matter is that that edict was not original with David. A sign of one who is ready to rule is that they will admonish in the Lord. They will correct and rule by his statutes, by his word. You see, about 500 years earlier, in Numbers 31, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, count up the plunder that was taken, and divide the plunder into two parts between those who took part in the war and all the congregation." When a person begins to admonish in the Lord, that is, correcting those who need correcting by using the Word of God to do it, that person may be ready to lead. Because they understand it's not their own wisdom that makes a godly leader, it is God's wisdom that makes a godly leader. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." David asked of the Lord. David abided with the Lord. David admonished in the Lord. And the fourth and final sign that David displayed in our passage was administering as the Lord. This is ministering to others in the same way that God ministers to us. All too often, we might go through our day failing God here and there, doing the same dumb sins over and over again. And God not only forgives us as we ask over and over again, but is gracious toward us, lavishes upon us his generosity in spite of our failures. That is how God administers. And one sign of a person who might be ready to lead is they are administering as the Lord administers to them, graciously, generously. That is what we find in David. Look at verse 26 now. It says, "Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." And he goes and lists all these places that he sent these spoils. But I want you to peek over at verse 20 one last time. Verse 20 says this, "Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Now, I didn't talk about this earlier because I wanted to talk about it now. David's spoil consisted of basically all of the leftovers. After they had divvied out what belonged to all these people, after they divvied out a portion of the other spoils they had got, everything else that was left over was David's spoils. And what I want to show you here is David never intended on it being his. He gave it to all of these other peoples listed in the end of that chapter, because that is how God administers. Ephesians 2:7 says that God shows the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We should be gracious and generous, administering to others in the same way that God ministers to us. David administered as the Lord administers, and it was a sign that he was ready to rule. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is what God was looking for in David, and he's finding it. And in the very next chapter, Lord willing, we'll see this next week. Saul will be killed in battle, and David will be lined out for the throne. Readiness to rule is what God was looking for in David. It's what God is looking for in us as well. He's looking for one who will seek his guidance, asking of him. Looking for one who will do what he says to do, abiding with him. Looking for one who will disciple and correct others, admonishing in him. He's looking for one who will rule graciously and generously, administering just as he does. Are we that one? Just to end with, I want to emphasize one more time that it's not about choosing whether we want to be that one or not. It's expected of us. Potty training is not a choice, and neither is spiritual maturity. God wants us ready to rule. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you again for these accounts that we get to read that took place so many years ago, yet are so can be so profitable for us as we look at what you brought David through, as you look at the way you trained him, as we look at how you worked in his life, the lessons that he learned. The example that he is. I pray, Lord, that we would look into your word, learn from it, and abide by it. Lord, we know that you expect each and every one of us who are your children to grow in our relationship with you, to grow in our spiritual maturity, to be an example and a leader to those around us. And I pray that as you are preparing our hearts, as you are bringing us through trials and even low places, Lord, that we, like David, would return to you, seek you, ask you, abide in you, admonish in you. Father, that we would be the leaders that you desire us to be to those who are watching, to those around us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you please stand with us as we close this morning with Eagle's Wings.
Morning that we could gather together and learn from your word. Help us to recognize what you want us to do with our lives, to serve you and just do our part that you expect of us. Dismiss us in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.